Okay, we're recording.
All right, so should we go ahead and call the meeting to order? Let's see, Janetta, you're the only public member here. Did you want to speak today?
Yes, I would, please.
Okay, why don't you go ahead then?
Thank you. Something I'd like to bring up, and I'm not sure that there's really an answer to it, but we've been talking about the new law regarding hoarders and reporting them. Well, we have Bob Sturton in Cottage Grove, and there's been a long history with Bob Sturton, and I did get a address and sent it in, and was got a reply back that the people have to send in the information. I cannot be an intermediary. When I told this person, she says, oh, I had hoped not to have to do that because they have to deal with this person. I have other people telling me thus and so and thus and so is going on. Somebody told them. The neighbor's beating the dog, the neighbor's kicking the dog, the neighbor's doing this. Well, that person needs to, I'm not going to report it. The guy does not want to be involved. He is afraid of the man who is much older than bigger than he is. So he's not going to report it, which means that if an intermediary can't get the information to the proper authorities, the animals pay the price. So I don't know how that can be. I mean, can a person send in an anonymous complaint? What's the best solution for that is my question.
So we do allow anonymous reporting, but she, Jeanette's right. We require the eyewitness to provide the details. We don't go off of third party, I saw on Facebook kind of complaints. We need the person who actually witnessed the violation going on to provide the report, because if we go to court with anything less, we lose. So we can't. We have to have the eyewitness be the complaint. And so that doesn't preclude us from driving by, doing a public relations check, that kind of thing. But as far as formal complaints, we need the person who actually witnessed the violation to be the one reporting the violation.
Did I understand that a person could do that anonymously then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do take anonymous complaints.
However, an anonymous complaint, once it goes to court, that person still has to testify, correct?
That's correct.
Can an officer do just a well animal check per the request of someone?
We do that, yes. And so once it's on our radar, we'll determine severity, and if Bernie is in the area, have him go by. But yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, Jan.
Which brings exactly to mind something that I wanted to talk about today. On Craigslist, there was a couple days ago, beware of so-and-so rescue. They just take in dogs. They don't care for them. They don't train them. If you get a dog from there, you're going to get an unsocialized, potentially vicious dog that hasn't been socialized or trained. And if you try to send the dog back to them, good luck. They may take it back, but if they do, it's still just going to sit in a kennel. Well, who knows? I mean, this could be somebody who has a personal grudge against this particular rescue group because they said no to them or whatever. But on the basis of that, could a well check be done on a group?
If the eyewitness reports it to us, yeah. Yeah, we can't go off of hearsay. We just can't do it because of, if we do end
well,
up going...
Well, because of the neighbor versus neighbor, I don't like the way they play their music, so
exactly.
I'll complain about their animals kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, we're often put in the place to be the bad guy because somebody else doesn't want to be. And, you know, many of those are just between the property owners, and there's no violation occurring. It's just they're at each other and want the county to come in and do something, and we can't.
That seemed, that particular complaint seemed to me like something that would fall under the new legislation that's being worked on about keeping rescue organizations compliant with.
So yeah, if you have an opportunity to reply to that, just encourage them to contact our office. We can take their information and go from there. We do a pretty good job of screening those kinds of things, so we can tell pretty quickly if it's that kind of neighbor versus neighbor kind of thing, or if there's actually an issue going on. So,
speaking of that, is the county working on compiling a list of the rescues so that they can implement Senate Bill 6?
We have a list of rescues that we know about. We know they kind of pop up and go away, and kind of it's fluid. But for the ones we know about, we do have a list.
And is there any visitation?
Not at this point. We don't have our ordinance in place, so not at this point. We're just complaint based at this point.
Okay. How about how much are they being charged for the license, rescue license?
The proposal is, I think it was 100. I'm going to say it wrong, so I better not say. There is.
And when's that going to be implemented?
As soon as the ordinance is put into place, when the code is updated, uh-huh. Right. Right. But we can enforce under state law,
right,
given a complaint. And I can't remember what those fines are off the top of my head. But
how's the writing of the code coming?
I was told by county council that it is still on the corner of their desk and not forgotten, but that's as far as I've
still
gotten.
On the corner of the desk.
Yeah.
That would be Senate Bill 6, right?
Yeah.
And all the code changes that you reviewed last year.
The Rome files, that's right below it.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing, but it is what it is.
Okay. So, was there anything else on any of those issues? If not, let's see. Where are we at with the minutes? I know how to. I was contacted by a member of the public who said she wanted to review minutes, and I said, well, we're posting them online now,
mm-hmm.
And I think we're a little behind on the summaries. Did we still
right,
need?
All the recordings are up to date,
the
summaries, and I, again, apologize to the committee. I don't have a summary for you to review at this meeting. We'll, again, hopefully get caught up next month with the summaries.
Okay.
And but all the recordings are
recordings
on the
are
site.
Online.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we'll turn the floor over to Vino for the First Avenue report.
Sure. Okay. So April was busy. Our cat intake at the shelter was up by 7% compared to where we were in April of last year. And we were also up by about 5% in terms of total dogs that came in. So it was definitely a busy month. Our RTO rate for dogs during the month of April was 82%, which
wow.
I'm really pumped about.
Yeah.
Very exciting number. And even though we only had two cats get RTO'd, and for those that don't know, that means return to owner, that still was 7% of total cat outcomes, so I'll take it. So let's see, across the year, the fiscal year to date so far, so this is looking back from last July through the end of April, the margin of cat intake is also up by 7%, so that's held steady with the last few months in a row. We've been up by that same margin. Our dog intake is still down a little bit compared to where we were year to date last year, but that margin continues to get smaller. So now we're down 6% compared to where we were at this point last year. So that kind of continues to
catch
up on dogs. Yep.
So you're up 7% for cats, down 6% for dogs.
Correct. Yep. Our RTO rate for dogs year to date is better than it was at this point last year by about 7%. Our year-to-date RTO rate for dogs is 68%, so from July through now. And that's for dogs. I didn't break that out between dogs that were brought in as strays or dogs that were brought in for safekeeping. That's just total dogs that were returned to owner, regardless of the reason that they were brought into us. And then adoptions. So the story of cats is 7%. Just everything is 7%. We're up 7% in cat adoptions as well, which is great because we want to see when that volume of intake goes up that adoptions and good outcomes go up by about the same margin. So that's good news as well. Our dog adoption rate is down by about 13%, but if you look at total dog intake being down 6% and RTOs being up 7%, that kind of all makes sense to me. So that's what we're looking at in terms of animal volume. And the only other big thing that I wanted to remind the committee about is this coming Sunday. I will pass these around. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year, Barkland Park. It's going to be taking place at Alton Baker Park. We have, well, Carrie can give details if necessary, but we have a lot of folks already signed up. City of Eugene has a team that's done really well so far with their fundraising. That's pretty cool. So people can come out, participate in the event. Whether or not they bring a dog with them is totally up to them. People can also just form teams if there are places of business and support us through fundraising, that kind of thing. But always a very exciting time of year for us. It's Bark Week. So with that, I will...
You call it Bark Week?
I do. I don't know if anybody else does. I've been trying to get that going for years.
That's hilarious.
with that, I will take any questions from the community members.
What time is it?
Oh, the event? So the walk starts at 9, the run starts at 10. The entire event, people start showing up at like 7 a.m. to register on site. If people want to do that, vendors will generally be set up and operational by about 8, and sometimes even earlier. And then everyone's kind of open and there's stuff going on in the park until, are we wrapping up at 11 or 12? Sure.
It's usually all down by 12, yeah. So we start ramping up 11:30.
There's contests and vendor booths and MCs will be doing stuff and there's different demonstrations. And so all morning at Alton Baker, rain or shine, or both, as it usually is.
Do you have many adventurous kitties show up?
We have only had a handful over the years that I've been involved in the park.
We had some other animals.
Yeah, we had rabbits.
Cool.
Yeah, but Alton Baker Park filled with 1,000 people and dogs it would have to be quite an adventurous.
Yeah.
But we have had that happen. And some people wear their dogs. If you've got like a little tiny dog or a dog that's a little bit older that can't make the course on its own, sometimes they have the little backpacks or front carriers and
last year
wagons.
A lot of stroller dogs.
Yeah, so they don't have to actually be able to run the course themselves in order to participate. But the contests are always pretty fun. Anything else you want to say about that?
No.
People can register online to participate in the races up until the day before the event. Registration closes at, 5 that day?
To the day before the event? Mm-hmm. Online. Whenever I get to, probably 8 o'clock.
Midnight? And then people who don't get registered by the cutoff or online registration can come to the park and register in the morning. So.
Yeah. We usually like to keep online registration open as long as possible because otherwise people come at 7 in the morning to crush and register before 9. We usually have a couple hundred people register that morning.
And that's the table I'm in charge of, so yay! It's really fun, I promise.
Always good for a front page newspaper article.
Usually, yes.
Yeah, or a photograph. It usually gets the photo op.
So, good. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Plenty of time to get registered and come on out. So, other questions?
No.
Okay.
If not, then we'll pass to Mike for the report on Wayne County.
Okay. Well, I want to introduce you to Charlie Conrad. He's the new analyst for Parks and Animal Services.
Welcome.
Yeah. And we'll get him up to speed here. He'll start staffing this committee at some point. And just like Dave was doing.
Okay.
And be the guy. So We're not glad to have him. He came from League of Oregon Cities, was a research analyst there, so helped them with legislative priorities and that kind of stuff. Actually, I should be letting you talk. So. Why don't you introduce yourself, Charlie?
So, as Mike was saying, I was up to League of Oregon Cities as a research coordinator up there, and prior to that, I was a Springfield police officer for 14 years. So, yeah. And I've lived
at the hood.
The Springfield hood, yes. Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, so I've lived down here since the late 90s in Lane County, so I'm happy to be here, excited to be here, and beginning my second week. So still learning quite a bit, and I'm loving it, so.
Great. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So turn your attention to our report in the multicolored report. One highlight I wanted to show, you're not going to see it on here, the spay noodle vouchers that we've issued. You see two and two there, but I personally have signed six this week.
Wow.
So, mostly from your practice. So, there are others, though, are taking advantage. So, the word is slowly getting out there. We haven't done our media push yet. We need to get on that and do that. We've just been so shorthanded with other priorities, but we do want to, for the new fiscal year, we want to hit it hard, make sure people know about it. And so starting July 1st, you know, we'll have a new batch of money to provide for the program. So we want to make our push then. So that's a highlight. You know, Bernie is as busy as usual. Over 191 contacts this since January, and for the month, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, something's off here. So, 138 for April, 131 in March, 108 in February, and 83 in January. If you remember, Bernie was off for part of January. So, anyway, you can see the ramp up. As the weather gets warmer, Bernie gets a lot more busy. So, kind of going off of horses, now onto dogs. So, during the winter months, it's horses and other animals, and during the summer months, it's dogs. So. Anyway, if you have any specific questions about any of this information, let me know. I'll get the table updated, yeah, so the totals are...
It's only totaling the first 2 months.
Totaling, yeah.
So we had 16 dog bites in April?
Correct.
How come so many? Do you have any idea where they come from?
Again, it's just as the weather gets warmer, dogs are outside more. And, yep, we typically see, starting in April, a rise in dog bites, and things were... responding to. That's my report.
Mike, you've had a couple of updating matters on the agenda, and then also you wanted to talk about, I think you were Commissioner Stewart was contacted by someone about feral versus sterile dogs.
So that's the next item? Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioner Stewart got an email from somebody who was upset about the discrepancy, what he felt was a discrepancy in licensing, didn't quite understand. Well, it's just philosophically opposed to charging differently for fertile versus sterile dogs. And so Commissioner Stewart asked this group to kind of reaffirm that philosophy, or if you wanted to take opportunity, since this is a topic, to revisit that. So I just wanted to bring it before you, let you know that that was brought up to the commissioner. My explanation to... I did speak with the person. My explanation to them was, you know, it's standard practice throughout the country to license differently, and the idea being that we want to encourage people to sterilize their dogs. And he just disagreed with that. He said, I don't want to do that, and I shouldn't have to pay more to make that decision. And so, anyway, just wanted to get your thoughts on the record, and so I can report back to Commissioner Stewart how you guys are feeling about it.
We have discussed this ad nauseum for the last 50 years, and you can't have one individual decide for the rest of us what is right and wrong. This whole county, whole group, anybody involved in dogdom has decided that the majority rules, the majority said that we should reduce the fees for those dogs that cost the county less, because this is a county program. And dogs that are spayed and neutered notoriously have had less cost to the county than those dogs that run at large and reproduce, okay? So this is like a no-brainer, okay?
Yeah.
I talk to people like this every day. I tell them, don't castrate your dog and don't spay your dog, because I only charge $80 to castrate your dog. But when he ends up with a perineal hernia and a testicular cancer, I can charge you $3,000 if you want to keep him alive, okay?
Right.
Usually they go ahead and schedule neutering right after that. I mean, that is gospel truth. You don't spay your dog, it's better for me. I get to do pyometra later on, and we charge $2,000 to $3,000 for that, okay? If I do a spay, I charge what, $70, $80, $90, $100 maybe? Now that's not really how I think. You know, I mean, it's tongue in cheek, but it's true that if they want to save money, they're going to spay and neuter their dog. And by doing that, they're going to cost the county less money. And this hasn't been decided once. This has been decided 1,000 times. It is behavioral control through the purse. That's fine. That's the way we've decided to do a lot of things in this country.
Yeah.
It is a social engineering by money. And
that's what he's opposed
that's
to.
That's what most of the tax code is.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
exactly.
We're in good company.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. So.
Actually, I would just add to that, to the beginning of what you had said, it's not this situation isn't necessarily social engineering through code. It's actually cost the county more money because of
it
animals
does.
That are intact that
absolutely
are
does.
Running loose because they're intact or reproducing and adding to overpopulation. And so there is actually a direct cost to the county that exceeds the cost of the animals that have been altered.
Is there, I know I probably look it up, is there a popular study that gets referred to about that?
Or? Not that I know of, and I'm not sure that anyone's done that study recently.
Yeah.
But it's fairly, I mean,
it's intuitive. Recent,
right, it's intuitive.
Yeah.
You know, in this community now, we're not dealing with, particularly with dogs, we're not dealing with a massive issue about overpopulation. But I would say that in part it's because of good policies that have led to a decrease in the dog overpopulation.
Yeah.
And so we're not having to deal with it. But if you turn that switch off, it may flip to the other side again.
Yeah.
In recent history, I don't know that the study's been done. I'm certain that that study has, you know, at some level. And virtually every community has differential pricing based on this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
don't,
have done it, someone else has.
Don't spend a lot of time with one complaint, okay? I mean, with us, we have to hear three complaints before we even think about something. I mean, because you always have somebody that is unhappy about something.
Well, this one, for whatever reason, has the commissioner's ear, so.
I'll talk to Faye and talk to him.
Okay.
I mean, I'm happy to.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. My response was I was going to send the whole board an email after we met today. I'll just send them an email basically summarizing our discussion and not spend a lot of time on it. But I was surprised he indicated he'd be here today, so I thought he'd be here for the discussion. No, the complainant.
Oh. Well, just for the record, I agree with what
and so do I.
Discussed
yeah.
there. What is the difference in price?
It's twice.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Isn't it a little more than that?
35, 8, 15, something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you're right, 35 and 15, yeah, for 1 year, or yeah, for 1 year.
Isn't it 42 and 18 now?
Yeah, so that was the old pricing. Yeah, now it's 42 and 18, you're right.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like he doesn't have the choice. I mean, he can make the choice. It's just
right.
Going to cost him more money.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want to move on to the other
sure.
update things, items?
Oh, did we want to hit importation
oh,
first?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It's to you next.
Yeah, I'm going to pass this out. This is just something that I got off the internet the other day, and it's something that's been popping up all around here and there. People complaining about disease, which our veterinarians have said it's a disaster waiting to happen sooner or later, even some importation of disease that we're not ready to deal with. This is parvo. And it's just somebody talking about it. Apparently, the second paragraph is a vet. That identified things coming in, and it's just something that we need to be aware of. If we don't address this, it's going to get worse, or it's going to hit us. And like the canine influenza that came through San Francisco from the Orient and ended up in Chicago and ended up killing a number of dogs from Chicago to Texas and eventually to California, it's going to hit us. And so it really does need to be addressed. And like I said before, the state's not going to address it. So we should. Just something that we need to keep in front of us to understand that.
So what was the specific situation, do you know?
Well, I took the email addresses out of it so that anything I...
That's fine. I was just wondering what the specific situation was.
Disease coming in.
To Lane County?
No, this isn't Lane County. This was back east. But it's going to happen here. And it may be, if you're seeing more parvo cases right now, maybe it's starting to happen now. Like it says here, you get a van load of puppies and one of them's got parvo and the whole van's going to end up with a problem and it's going to get spread.
Do you report to CDC? You just do the state reporting, right?
Yeah, we do state reporting.
Yeah.
And certain ones are reportable. CDC has reportable diseases, but there are very few canine reportable diseases. But the economic impact of importing one chicken is millions and millions of dollars. You know what I mean? And one hog, millions
yeah.
of dollars.
Yeah.
So that's why these hog farmers have gone to isolation. They won't let anybody in their place. When they go in themselves, they have iodine, chlorine-treated boots, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
These are truly germ-free. They only send semen into these hog farms. They don't send any live animals, ever.
Mm.
They only exit. And that's because they can't afford it. They can't afford it. The problem is sometimes now they're worried about birds carrying disease into
yeah.
the hog farms. You
yeah.
know? So that poses a problem. But cattle can't be shipped. I mean, even today, they send straws mostly. You know, if they can, they send straws, which are, you know, an egg and a sperm, and they send a embryo in, and then they impregnate cows for the most part in foreign countries. So that's how you get by a lot of the rules of importation. You just send the embryo, and they put them in a
surrogate
mother,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you got the whole breed in your backyard.
We're seeing more and more importation coming in from Asia on meat dogs, supposed meat dogs. And Chihuahua's not a meat dog.
Yeah, not much meat there.
A Mastiff is a meat dog. And the ones that come,
yeah.
you see on the news that they're Chihuahuas are supposed to be meat dogs, somebody's being hoodwinked somewhere. And you know more about how things could be brought in than I would as far as the incubation period. Things we're not maybe not prepared to deal with, but sooner or later it's going to hit us. And we're seeing a lot of it.
Well, Asia is notorious for bloodborne parasites, and that's what you're really concerned about, is all the different bloodborne parasites that come in. We don't have them here, but we're slowly getting them. We don't even test for them because we don't see them, you know, and then all of a sudden you're starting to test for things. Oh, yeah, it's already here, you know.
Mm-hmm. So other than an outright ban, is a quarantine period the other answer?
Most of them aren't, because you can't afford to test these little dogs for every disease that they might be carrying, because they'd break the banks of the people that are trying to save them. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, we try to do good at not adopting out leukemia cats. But it's expensive to do those leukemia tests on every cat. I know you have us do them down there for you, and that really adds to the cost of your adoption. If every time you want to adopt a cat out, you've got to do a Filoguepi-B test. And that's just one disease entity or two disease entities. And some of these dogs require 6 and 8 entities. Some of them don't even have test kits for. You know, you have the 4DX that checks for, what, heartworms and Lyme's. There's a couple other bloodborne parasites they check for. And I know that when I go to Mexico, they do a 4DX test on everyone that comes in. But all of a sudden, your base price is $40 just to do those tests. Yeah. So you can mean well, but it's not free.
Mm-hmm. Well, the implementation of Senate Bill 6 would cut down some of this, simply because many of the rescue groups aren't, I don't think, capable of keeping the records that are required. And so some of them probably won't be doing the importation they're doing now. And I don't think they're making any money, but the transports are. And so that's where the money probably is. And it's probably not being made from the puppy mills that are producing them, if puppy mills are producing them. It's in transport. But I'm sure some of the fly-by-night transports would go belly up, as well as the fly-by-night rescues that we're seeing.
Do you think these rescue groups have any effect on your donations? I mean, they're in competition for donations with you.
Yeah, so. I don't know. Maybe they have some effect on donations. It's adoptions.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a huge effect, of course. That would be the really big impact.
Yeah.
But that has to do with the bottom line, too, for you guys, would be if you can't adopt out a few dogs, then your life is made much more miserable.
A little. I mean, it's more about a concentration of resources that we're worried about. But, because all the animals that come into the community, regardless of where they're adopted from, it has an impact on green collar people.
It does.
You know,
and
it will. Because we're the larger organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge. We've had this discussion before. It's kind of a challenge for Lincoln County to implement this sort of thing within the Senate Bill 6, although I would say that there's two national organizations that have worked on best practices for transport, the Association of Shelter Veterinarians, and then the Society of Animal Welfare Administrators now is actually revising one, which is going to, still in draft form. It's going to be presented in June in its first official state. One of the things that is looped into that best practice is testing at the source shelter, ideally. The funding for that is actually PetSmart Charities has a program called Rescue Wagon. They travel around the country. That program is actually ending in part because of the expense behind it. Because one of the things that they've been doing is providing source shelters with much of what you're talking about. The spay and neuter occurs there, any necessary quarantine occurs there, all the testing and vaccinations occur at source shelter, and PetSmart Charities is paying for it. And each individual animal is costing, you know, potentially hundreds of dollars in prepping an animal even before it got on the transport. Very few organizations are doing that. In fact, PetSmart Charities is probably the only one that I know of that was doing it to that extent, and that's ending. That being said, that is the best practice, and I could see a potential of tying the best practice into some of what we care about as a community, and seeing if that's, you know, ensuring that that those best practices are followed, you know, when an animal comes into the community.
I think the ASPCA's program also incorporates some of that, probably not all of it. I think the spay-neuter before transport is negotiable among participating organizations, but they're definitely supporting robust transport policies if you're going to do it, everybody getting on the same page about that. And they, I think, are going to be continuing to move in that direction.
Yeah, and there are, you know, there are honestly very few programs that actually exist to that level,
right.
And ASPCA or PetSmart Charities only are working with a small number of shelters.
Unfortunately, they end up being suggestions.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no rules, so you must do this.
Right, because no one's required to participate through their programs who can make up
right.
their own systems. Yeah, you're right.
But if what a community is doing is trying to make their internal policies more robust or tie that to certain things, there are examples
right.
out there that have been, you know, vetted through the Association of Shelter Vets and a pretty well-established national organization.
And the small rescues aren't going to be following that protocol.
Well, the question is whether or not they'll be required on the source side. If they were required on the source side, then that wouldn't be as much of an issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On the destination side.
Right.
There are people kind of all along the way trying to either be helpful or
sure.
as identified, make a living off of it. Right, and
the whole gamut.
Right, there's a whole gamut,
right.
And there are very few. Well, probably PetSmart and ASPCA are the only ones that I know that like provided the level of funding, but also the education, and then the you know those concerns that we have about just transporting doesn't solve the problem in the source,
mm-hmm.
right, or creates more of a problem.
Enables.
They were working on. Really heavy on providing the source with the resources necessary to get out of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could have, you know, basically showing them that it could be done, providing them with booster resources on a temporary basis in order for their community to step in and do things along those lines. And that was that's where things have been going. The question is whether or not funding is going to continue. From those organizations or if there are other ways of doing it. No question. Like, we agree, and actually, on a national basis, the conversations that I'm having about transport are completely along the lines of someday disease is going to be a major issue, and it may not be right now, but
mm-hmm.
it's going to be another game changer once that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And may as well start right, you know, when we have the opportunity to, or try to head things off before
sure.
they occur.
We know it's coming. We need to be prepared for it or alleviate it right now.
Right.
Before it happens.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay, updates. Yeah, sure. New shelter center for dialogue and resolution. Carrie and I met with the center 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now. They have submitted estimate of what their cost might be. We're going to review that and see how we're going to fund that effort with the Board of Commissioners. I'll keep you up to date on that. At this point, I don't have a specific timeline. So it's progressing. And with the idea being that we'll have some kind of animal services summit with other jurisdictions, including the city of Eugene. They did say they wanted to participate in this effort,
mm-hmm.
so there may be an open door there, but I've had similar responses that you got
mm-hmm.
from them in the past. So we'll see. They're willing to sit down and talk about it at least. And so I'll be keeping you up to date on that as we continue on that. It's just a matter of finding the resources to support that effort. So things like improvements to the public shelter, uniform licensing, some opportunities to partner in providing service countywide, where some agencies might have resources to do things, some things, but not others, where other agencies can help them, you know, and being more proactive about or holistic about the animal services we provide within the borders of Lane County. And seeing what opportunities are there. What we heard from the Oregon Solutions Team process was that people were interested in talking about these issues, people being city administrators, city staff, and county staff. We're interested in talking about these issues, but didn't really have a, there was no structure to have those conversations. So now with the Center for Dialogue and Resolution facilitating that kind of meeting and providing structure to have three or four meetings where we get together, identify some common issues that we think we can work together on, and then implement those. So it's not meant to be arduous and not meant to be, you know, years long. It's meant to be three or four meetings over, you know, 3 to 6 months to work on these issues and see if we can come to some agreement on. So that's kind of the scope that we asked the Center for Dialogue to bid on, and they came back with $6,800 and some dollars.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. For that process. So I just need to figure out how I'm going to pay for that. So that's kind of the next step. Have that discussion with the Board of Commissioners. You know, being, I think Lane County should be the lead, and being the lead, we should put up the money, and if we're really committed to it, let's do it. And so, anyway, I just haven't had that conversation with the Board of Commissioners yet, so that's the next step. Universal dog licensing is kind of wrapped up into that. I know Commissioner Farr indicated at your last meeting that he would bring this up at an agenda setting. As far as I know, he did, and my response to him was this kind of facilitated process will kind of present that as well, and I encourage the board just kind of hold tight until we start meeting with the cities and go through it and see what opportunities there might be for that. Spay neuter vouchers, I give you a little bit. We are seeing an increase in their use. We're almost at the end of the fiscal year. We have plenty of money still available. July 1st, the money, you know, the pot gets restarted, and so our goal is to, at that point, do a media push about the program, getting more offices on board with providing them, and trying to just keep it going, keep it growing. Animal abuse, or Senate Bill 6, I also mentioned that last week I talked to County Council. They said it's on their desk, the person dealing with that, and has not forgotten, and should expect an update soon. I haven't heard anything else. Animal abuse reporting, child abuse, and later criminality violence. I think we've talked about that a couple times. I'm not sure what else you need from me on that.
I think Scott was going to, that's actually Scott's issue.
Yeah.
He was going to do some follow-up on some
So. Right.
Yeah. And he's not here.
Right.
So.
Have there been studies done on that everybody knows about?
That's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
He was gonna bring the information that he had on that.
There's definitely a link, and it's definitely something we want to be aware of. I know Officer Perkins is aware of that, and when he witnesses something and something's occurring with a child in the vicinity or something that's occurring, you know, he cross-reports it so that we have that capability. We are in touch with Children and Family Services, and they're in touch with us if they see something going on related to an animal. So it's kind of mutual, and communication lines are open, and we're working on it.
Well, we should have a plan for what to do with that information. I mean, this has been reported for the last 20 years that there's a relationship here. So every time we come to a meeting and somebody starts spouting this off for hours, and I mean, well, then have a reason for it. What is your plan? You're going to talk about it? Then either we need to change the laws to make it similar to what people have. If you abuse your wife or your wife abuse your husband in front of the children, the penalty is far more severe in those situations than it is if you just abuse them alone.
Right.
I mean, that sounds silly, but it's true.
But that's true now for animals.
That's what we need to do. We need to say, okay, well, if this is the case, and we know we've already, I mean, we've talked and everybody agrees that this is a fact, well, then what we should have here instead of this is that we want to promote a law that says that the penalty is tripled, quadrupled, whatever it is, if this abuse occurs in front of the child.
And that's been...
Are you saying that was already the law?
That's been done.
Yeah.
So it's already a done deal.
Yeah.
What, I don't understand.
I think the question is, well, one question that I have is, you know, I think there is some connection among our different agencies in this county, but I don't know that the public has any idea actually what happened, like how often things are taken up to that level, whether criminal prosecutions are considered in those cases where that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have any data on that.
I don't think we do, other than now that that's the law. It'd be an interesting question for the DA's office, because that's where it would happen.
Exactly.
And I could certainly ask that.
It's probably used as a bargaining chip to get somebody to confess to something and be done. You know what I mean? You are either going to go to jail for a million years, or you could go ahead and plead guilty of this lesser offense and be done with it.
Yeah.
And that's how that works down there, the prosecutor.
But I think it would be important to know how many times cases are being referred up because that circumstance is present.
I can ask that question of the DA and see.
Okay.
Okay. Any other bits of information from anyone else, or any questions, anything you would like to put on the agenda for next month, or do we even want to maybe consider taking a month off and skipping the June meeting and meeting again in July? I don't know. Thoughts?
Since we're a good idea.
Done in about half the time.
Yeah. Today.
So what would the date be in July?
What?
July 11th then? We'll just skip June's meeting and go right to July 11th will be the next meeting. So to correct that on the agenda today.
So
if there's nothing else, we can adjourn.
11th.
July 11th, yes.
Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
May I share what got whispered in my ear?
Pardon me? Oh.
We feel the same way.
Good, we'll see you all in July then. Have fun in Bark and
yeah,
Park.
Friday and you. Sunday, we'll see you all Sunday.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
All right, that's the shortest meeting I've been to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get started a little bit late, it always helps.
Get here late.